welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Good. We're going to talk about something this morning that I think we'd better have women talk about, but we're going to do our best here, particularly as I point out that about 40% of women in surveys report some sort of sexual concern, and 12% report distressing sexual problems. That's in addition to the 40%. And I suspect a lot of those problems have to do with their male partners, but we won't go there. Female sexual dysfunction, which is what we're going to talk about, takes several different forms. Sometimes it can be a lack of sexual pleasure. It can be impaired arousal, inability to achieve orgasm. Often it's pain with some sort of sexual activity, or it can be a combination, a mishmash of all of these things. Not surprisingly, tailoring treatment needs to be focused on the actual cause, so that as we begin to think about what's going on, we have to keep in mind that there are all of these different causes, but often sexual dysfunction can be multifactorial with several different etiologies, meaning that as we work this up, we have to carefully evaluate different systems and keep in mind that there may be associated physical problems, but also psychological problems. And these sometimes are not that easy to separate. You found a poem for us. It's in the journal JAMA Internal Medicine. It's published this year, 2016. It starts on page 453. It asks the question, is flibanserin, that new drug that has been quite controversial in getting approval, is flibanserin a safe and effective treatment of hypoactive sexual desire disorder in premenopausal women? Mark, what did they do, and how much can we trust the finding here?
Well, these were authors who didn't have anything to do with the company that's marketing it. And they looked at three trial registries and 13 electronic databases. I didn't know there were 13 electronic databases worth looking at, but they did. And they looked at Cochrane Library. Basically, they looked everywhere to find every possible article that they could in any language. And they did the usual systematic review stuff where they had a couple of people look at each article. There were five published studies, three unpublished studies, and a total of about 5,900 premenopausal and postmenopausal women were enrolled in total in all those studies. The overall study quality was kind of low. A lot of women dropped out of these studies. Some authors actually changed the goalposts, the endpoints, if you will, midway through the study. We're going to look at this composite outcome. Then by the end of the study, it was that composite outcome because that one looked better. Benefit was statistically significant, but clinically, we can talk about that, but minimal, I think, minimally significant for most of the outcomes. On average across the studies, flibanserin resulted in one additional satisfying sexual event every 2 months. So about, it's often reported as one half every month or one every 2 months. The diary scores for sexual desire increased from 1.7 to 2.3 points, but this is on an 84-point scale, so really small difference. Scores on the female sexual function index increased 0.3 points, so 0.3 of a point on a 6-point scale. So again, very small differences. There was minimal or no change in the woman's own perception of her amount of improvement. There were side effects. Women were twice as likely to drop out because of adverse effects from the study than if they were taking placebo, which is a good measure of overall tolerability. Dizziness was especially likely, 4 times more likely in the flibanserin group. So this is a drug that costs $800 a month. So taken for 2 months as $1,600. At best, in kind of an optimistic interpretation, it produces one additional satisfying sexual event in women every 2 months.
So I'm going to try to behave myself and not be inappropriate here in any way. But
Please do. Please do.
Well, but so we're talking about $1,600 per sexual desirable event.
Yes.
I guess it's a value judgment, and I'm not going to go there, but it seems a little bit expensive.
Well, you know, a colleague said, you know, a really nice weekend away from the kids at a fancy hotel can cost less than $1,600, and I think there's probably some truth to that. And I think it's also worth reminding listeners about the you kind of alluded to the controversy about approval. This drug was, I think it was developed by a German manufacturer initially, and they dropped it because they did the studies and said, yep, it doesn't work. I'm allowed to do a German accent, by the way, because I'm a native German speaker. So I just want to, in case any German listeners are insulted by that.
Okay.
So they said it didn't work. And then this company came and picked it up in the U.S. and did a big marketing campaign and they astroturfed it and got sort of a fake grassroots, you know, marketing campaign. And they did all this stuff and they resubmitted to the FDA twice, I think, and finally got it approved. You know, so there's kind of a history behind this drug and overall not one I'm going to, you know, recommend. I think the side effects outweigh any potential benefit, really.
You know, the other piece of this is this whole, I mean, we sort of glossed over it, but this whole concept of hypoactive sexual desire disorder, you know, is a disorder that was made and created to have a drug treat it. I mean, this was not a disorder that had been described previously in the literature.
I think you get in, you know, I don't know enough about the field to comment. I do have a concern about disease mongering. At the same time, sexual function is important. It's probably understudied. And, you know, what is a normal level of desire or sexual activity is still probably less studied than it should be. And there, you know, certainly are other things that can affect sexual function, as you know, mentioned, relationship issues, physical issues. Again, it's not clear what the disorder is or how significant it is, but, you know, clearly it affects some people who are willing to go out of their way to look for a medication and take a medication.
Right.
But not this one. But not this one.
Right. Yeah, so my cynicism is directed at the drug and not the not the problem. Mark, thanks. We'll talk about something much more Monday next week. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.